Well, good morning, everyone. I'm sure most of you didn't go to bed too early last night, so I thank you for waking up early. And today I want to share with you some of the work that we've done looking at the impacts of manganese oxides and iron oxides on soil organic matter retention and reactivity. And the reason that the global context for why we care is that soils actually comprise the largest terrestrial pool in the global carbon cycle that's actively cycling. It's more than the vegetative pool and the atmospheric pool combined. And so we really want to understand the controls of carbon cycling within this large pool if we want to understand how carbon or the global carbon cycle will change with a changing climate. And in particular, secondary minerals have been shown to really have an outstanding or an exceptionally important role in the cycling, in controlling the cycling of organic carbon, okay, and to minimize the rate of decomposition. And so that would include phyllosilicates as well as iron and aluminum oxides. A lot of work has been done looking at those. But we know a lot less about manganese oxides, another secondary mineral, and we want to know what the impacts of these minerals are on the cycling of organic carbon soils. This is the main motivation for the work. And this is really operating under this conceptual model where we have these two main ecosystem factors that are controlling the rate of decomposition. The rate of decomposition of the organic matter. Okay, so first it's going to be looking at mineral surfaces, adsorption and desorption from that, and then also incorporation of organic matter into aggregates. And it turns out that the manganese cycle actually is intimately tied to the carbon cycle, especially looking here at a forest soil. And so we have manganese that is taken up by the roots as manganese too. Okay, and then as the litter or the plants senesce and you get litter deposition, manganese too re-enters the soil. And it turns out that fungi actually have been shown to actively oxidize the manganese two to manganese three and four, which then oxidizes the carbon in the leaf litter, and that regenerates the manganese too. Okay, and so the fungi are actively cycling this manganese to promote the oxidative decomposition of the organic matter. And so then we're left with, after this active cycling happens, that's been shown to happen over about a period of 7 years or so, we have residual manganese oxides, and the question is, what impacts do these manganese oxides have on organic carbon cycling? And so with that, the objectives of our study are to assess the retention of natural organic matter by a hydrous manganese oxide, which is a good proxy of a manganese oxide that we'd find in soils, as well as a goethite for comparison. And then we want to look at the chemistry that's happening between the organic matter and these respective minerals, including redox chemistry. And then we want to assess the chemical ability of the organic matter that's been sorbed onto these minerals. And we're going to do that using a sodium phosphate extraction. And so what we did is we collected the organic matter from the entire O horizon of a forest site in Avondale, Pennsylvania, the Stroudwater Research Center. And we performed a water extraction to get the water-soluble organic matter from that site. And we then reacted it with these two minerals at pH 5 for 24 hours. So we're looking at the sorption, and we showed over 24 hours that it reached a steady state. And so here we're showing on the y-axis carbon retention normalized by the surface area of the mineral as a function of the initial carbon loading expressed as the carbon to metal molar ratio. initial. And so what you can see is you have higher carbon loadings at, the Goethite has a stronger affinity at low carbon loading, okay? But as we increase the carbon loading, the manganese oxide actually has a greater overall absorption capacity, okay, for this organic matter. And so we used carbon XPS to look at the carbon chemistry of the organic matter, and that's shown in the black spectra here. And we have three main types. So the more reduced carbon bonded to carbon, it will include the adventitious carbon. The CO and CN is going to be mainly polysaccharide associated carbon. And then we have the what we're calling the carboxylate carbon groups. And so what we see is that each of these three groups, as well as the total carbon, reaches a saturation behavior with increasing carbon loading. And we see that as well with the goethite, though this again happens at a lower carbon loading where we see saturation. We also performed carbon near-edge X-ray absorption fine structure spectroscopy. So in the black in the bottom, we have the spectrum of the natural organic matter. And then we have, moving above that, we have the organic matter loaded onto the manganese oxide in purple at a lower loading and a higher loading up to 2.5. And then above that, we have the carbon loaded onto the goethite at a low loading and a higher loading. And so we see these three peaks. And so from left to right, the aromatic peak we see in the natural organic matter dampens upon reaction with the minerals. And we see actually a disappearance of the phenolic peak or in the middle there, and then we see an increase in the carboxylic peak. And using FTIR, we're at the top, we have the organic matter spectrum, and then the organic matter sorbed onto the manganese oxide in purple, and the organic matter sorbed onto the goethite below that with the mineral spectra subtracted from it. And we have this asymmetric carboxylate peak at 1583, and we see a shift to 1591 upon reaction with the goethite. And associated with that, we get the appearance of a carboxylate metal peak at 1390. And so this is demonstrative of a ligand exchange reaction, a carboxylate metal bond formation through ligand exchange, which has been demonstrated previously between goethite and organic matter. But we do not see that with the hydrous manganese oxide. So the IR was really helpful in looking at the sorption mechanism for the iron oxide, but less definitive in terms of the manganese oxide. So we looked at the carbon side of the equation. If we switch to the metal side now, looking at manganese X-ray absorption, the bottom four spectra are manganese oxide standards of varying oxidation state. And above that, we have the hydrous manganese oxide unreacted, and then with two carbon loadings above that. And so what we see is that the manganese oxide is basically mostly manganese 4, probably manganese 4, but upon reaction of with the organic matter, we get reduced manganese species occurring, okay? And so it appears that the organic matter is inducing some reduction of the manganese oxide. And as well, the XPS shows the formation of a manganese 2 species, which increases as we increase carbon loading. And so we tried to just did a simple correlation looking at what carbon species are correlating, or looking at the changes in carbon species that correlate most strongly with the generation of the manganese 2, and nothing was quite significant, but the greatest correlation was an increase in the more oxidized carbon, the carboxylic group. And looking at iron, we do not see, using X-ray absorption, any change in the iron speciation of the goethite upon reaction with the organic matter. So we're not observing a redox reaction there, and that was also corroborated with the XPS. So there seems to be more of a redox chemistry happening with the manganese than with the iron. And so switching from looking at the chemistry or interactions, let's look at the lability of the carbon that's been sorbed onto the organic matter. We see that with increasing carbon loading, we're getting greater amounts of carbon retained on the goethite after desorption with the sodium phosphate. Okay, so the manganese oxide had a greater overall sorption capacity, but it's easier to kick off, okay, with the sodium phosphate, meaning that carbon is more chemically labile through that operationally defined mechanism. And it turns out that after this sorption reaction at 24 hours, there's actually quite a bit of manganese remaining in the solution phase in the manganese system, and very little iron remaining in the iron in the goethite system. And so that potentially could be related to the manganese reduction. But it turns out the natural organic matter extract, this water-soluble organic matter, had about 13 times higher manganese concentration than iron, which was shocking to me, at least. And so what we have here is residual manganese and iron in both systems as a function of carbon loading. And you can see in both systems there's very little iron present. But you can also see with increasing carbon loading, increase in the manganese concentration in the goethite system. And so the manganese is coming from the organic matter, right? And so that's going to increase as we add more carbon loading onto it. But you can see in the carbon loading onto the manganese oxide, we get a lot more manganese in solution. So it appears that there's also some dissolution of the manganese oxide, and we have to do a little bit more constraint on the mass balance to look at that. And so overall, we see that the goethite has a higher affinity for organic matter at low carbon loadings, but again, greater overall sorption capacity for the manganese oxide. And we see, we do not observe a discernible redox reaction occurring between the goethite and the manganese, or in the organic matter, whereas we do observe some redox happening between the manganese oxide and the organic matter, but we have to really tease out whether that's more the manganese or the organic matter, or a combination of the two. And finally, the organic carbon that's sorbed to the manganese oxide is more chemically labile than that associated with the goethite. And so just to bring this back into that context that we're talking about, it really shows the importance of mineralogy in controlling carbon cycling. And so these secondary minerals are showing a differential impacts on the carbon retention and also the lability. And I think it also points to the fact that we need to think about redox conditions and changing carbon cycling within the terrestrial carbon cycle in the critical zone. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues at the University of Delaware, Canadian Light Source, Stroud Water Research Center, and our funding sources, and thank you for your attention.
I have about 1 minute for questions for Jason.
Yeah, Aaron.
Did you speciate the manganese in the water extract?
Yeah, we're working on that with XPS, yeah, right now. So, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm.
Another question for Jason?
Oh, back. Yeah, so we performed a water extraction of the O horizon, and then in a batch system we loaded that onto known concentrations of the manganese, and then separately onto the goethite. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? We do have a discussion period after the talk, so if there are any further questions, I hope the speakers will stay and join us for that. All right.